Let's get started then. Great. Okay, so we've been exploring these two main questions. Question number one being the scope of the disagreement between the Mandam or Shmei Hezek and Mandam or Lav Shmei Hezek. And then question number two is to try to get some traction onto what Hezek Riya itself, what exactly Hezek Riya is. I think we broke some fresh ground in the last year. We got a better handle on how Ayin Ra'ah factors into this, different permutations of what Ayin Ra'ah might actually be, and whether it's a form of Hezek Riya. And then we also made some headway in just noting two formulations in the Achronim. The Achronim troubled by the Gemara's answer of Hezekah the Rabbim Shiny. I might have to take off this mask. Is that okay with you guys? Anybody against my taking off the mask? Romy, are you against? Okay, fine. Just cover the window so that nobody sees. Against the Mandamar of Hezekah the Rabbim Shiny. In explaining the view of Hezekah the Rabbim Shiny, the Achronim noted that in that case, there's a Nizak. So there's the Baal HaChatzer who's being harmed. But it's a party other than the Mazik who has to bear the costs of the Nezek. Correct? That was the important finding of the Hezekah Deravim case, right? Now, we pointed out there are two approaches that we could take to make sense of that. One might be a general theory of Nezek. Maybe in general, Nezek is really about compensating the victim. And then it's kind of arbitrary. We have to figure out where we should get the funds to compensate him. But where we get the funds from is almost like a secondary question to the primary question, to the primary consideration, which is to ensure that victims are compensated. I think that was the Rav Nachum formulation. You know, like we're motivated by the Chisaron Denizak. But some cases compensation comes from the other Bnei HaChatzer who are not Mazikim. In other cases, it comes from the Mazik himself. But that's just like a detail. That doesn't really matter where we draw the funds from. So I said that's like a general theory of Nezikin question. As applied in this particular case to the case of Nezek of Hezek Riya. The other approach to make sense of that question was the Evan Ozel. And he started saying, well, what this case of Hezekah Derabim shows is that we're moving out of the world of torts and we're interested in questions that belong to the realm of shutfus, right? Meaning, when people get together to form a condominium or some joint living tenancy in common, you have a chatzer, what kinds of harms are they intending to bear the costs of? And that's almost like a contractual question. What's the implied intent of the people forming this tenancy in common association? Everybody on board with that? Okay, so you see how that's already biting into, what type of Hezek is Hezek Riya? Maybe it's not an Ezekin. So we're going to obviously get deeper into that question, but not right now. Okay, today we pick up with the question of, Hezekah Debaya Shaini. I'm going to skip over Chulkanes HaChatzer. To my mind, that's an uninteresting back and forth in the Tashmas. Does everybody share my view on that? Kind of a strange Havamina that Chulkin means with a wall, and the Gemara says not necessarily. Right, so I don't think that really takes an important stand on the Hezek Riya back and forth. So we're going to skip over this example for now. If somebody has something exciting to say about it, just save it for a little bit later. So let's look at Hezekah Debaya Shiny. So the Gemara here brings us the case of Hachalonos. Who wants to tell us about the Hachalonos? Volunteer for the Hachalonos? Shmuel, you volunteering? Great. You could take off your mask while you're talking if you want, not put mine on. I don't know. Okay, one second. So tell us what's happening here. Rashi fleshes out the Metzius in this case. So what's happening?
So
yes, tell us what's going on.
So it's someone wants to build a wall in the chatzer, and it's in the proximity of the window of someone else's house.
So you have a bias that's already established. The bias has windows. Somebody now is building a wall in their chatzer. What are the zoning rules for distancing walls from windows? Manhattan, this happens all the time. You have a premium view of the East River and the Brooklyn Bridge. When somebody buys the property next door, they develop it and that kills your view, right? So they just like totally obscure your view. So obviously, so the Gemara has this example just on a lower scale, right? How far does a wall have to be distanced from someone's windows? Yes, you could spare us the details here, actually. So what's the upshot of the Gemara?
So it has to be 4 amos away from the window in all directions.
Yeah, in all directions, it's got to be distanced for 4 amos. Okay, so why? Okay, so what are those two instances? So above and below.
So above, you don't like, you can't see above down into it. If it's below, then so you don't kind of up the wall.
Yeah.
Eye level.
So I would say the vertical directions are about ensuring that the owner of the wall can't peer into the private residence. Correct? Now, the horizontal regulation is why? Michnegdan? Yeah, what's that?
Kadesh Lo Yap. Not darken, so that he still has like access to daylight.
Yeah, so you don't block the light. Okay? Now, let me just ask you guys, when you see this brisa, it seems to raise two different types of considerations. Shelo yamod v'yira, yatzitz v'yira. So there's the peering consideration. Then there's the yapil consideration. Are those the same? Is the Gemara asking from both of these cases? Are there two separate types of considerations going on here in the brisa? What do you think, Josh?
Yeah, I think the simplest way to read it is that there are two different things. There's the above and below, which is hezekriya, and then this is a different thing, and we're just talking about the first two. I think it's the simplest.
Great. So Josh is saying that, Josh, right?
Yeah.
Josh is saying that there are really two separate things going on here in the Mishnah, two values. One is the lighting, the other is the privacy, and the Gemara's question is really from the privacy, right? Okay. Any other takers on this point? Zulti, Daniel?
Yeah, you could argue, though, that they might be, like, obviously different than what they are, but they're both a subset of the same type of thing.
Dehainu?
That is, like, a certain level of deteriorating quality of life of your neighbor.
Yeah, good. So, Zulti's telling us, maybe they really get the same point, which is restricting the use or quality of living quarters that your neighbor has, right? So we don't yet really know what's at the core of hezekriya, but something that was thrown out earlier, if hezekriya is about ensuring that your neighbor could have maximum use of his property, then it seems plausible to take Zulti's view, right? Because both the peering eyes of the neighbor and the diminution of natural light basically restrict the use and enjoyment of the private residence. Correct? Okay. So that would be, so Zulti is offering us a nice way of making a common, unified way of reading this brisa. But, you know, we could always go with Josh's view. Josh's view is like, the brisa is about building regulations. Building regulations are a code. You know, it just factors in all sorts of variegated values. They don't necessarily relate to each other. So maybe this brisa itself has two separate values, privacy and light quality. Correct, Josh? Yeah. So anybody see the dialectic here, two different ways of reading this brisa? Anybody have a strong view on which is the right reading, or we're kind of sympathetic to both? Zulti?
have a separate question.
Yeah.
Why is it that you build a wall that is above the window that we're not concerned about, you know, like preventing light from going in? Like, why is that only if it's across, not also?
Oh, like, why is it, so if it's above, why are we not also worried about the lighting?
Yeah.
That's a good question. You have to get into the geography here. I would assume that if it does block the light, then it would be the same type of consideration. I would assume. Unless the idea is that if you're four amos away, maybe at that point we don't care about light. I'd want to see more of what the Rishonim say about the lighting issue. Yeah. Or it's like once you're out of four amos, then you know you're free to do what you want. Not sure. Michnegdan, it's a good point. Romy, you're going to respond to separate point. Let's hear.
Are the two ways of reading the Brisa really like mutually exclusive? Can you divide? Like, what's the difference between the two? Meaning, yes, there are two considerations, but if you zoom out a little bit, then one consideration of, like, you know, my usage of my own.
Well, that's Zolti's view, right? So meaning the idea here is that this is about infringement on the use of your property.
Well, I'm saying aren't both readings objectively true? Like, is there a way to say, oh, no, really it's two independent considerations and one of them isn't about my enjoyment? Like, It objectively gets really my enjoyment.
Well, it depends what exactly Hezekiah is, right? Because if Hezekiah doesn't care, it's not about maximizing your use and enjoyment of property. Let's say Hezekiah is about not, like some, let's say, ritual type of tznius consideration, then it's not about restricting use altogether, right? It's about, like, making sure that Jews aren't seeing inappropriate things, something like that. Do you see how they can come apart in that?
Yeah, right.
So it becomes less of a property question,
right,
and more of just like Evan Ezer or Yoridea question.
Right.
Okay. So the Gemara poses. Yeah.
I promise.
Go ahead.
I'm not really sure. I don't see any of your raise this point, but this is a very strange Hezekiah case. Most Hezekiahs are assumed to be, I think it's quoted later on in the Marnath, oh, it's about Hezekiah the Mamela, that, oh, I'm going to just see you automatically one way or another. Here it's talking about, oh, don't build a wall such that you can't be a creep and, like, deliberately, like, balance me on your wall to peer in. Like what is this? It seems to be not natural concerns.
Yeah.
Like, is there just maybe that's the conclusion, that there's a way higher bar for privacy by a house. I don't want you even having the ability to look in. But, like, this is, like, a kind of...
Yeah, so I'm not sure about the level of intentionality that you're ascribing to the agent in this case. Mm-hmm. You're right, the Brisa is written in a suggestive way. Shelo yatitz v'yira and shelo yamod v'yira. But the way I read that is not that, like, the peeping Tom guy with his binoculars... Years ago, my father used to have an office on the 5th floor of First Hall. And I used to, like, when I was in MTA, I used to use his office for stuff when I was dorming and, like, pick up stuff from there. So it was, like, 10, it was like 9 o'clock at night, and I went to get something from his office, and there was, like, a burned security guard there with binoculars looking at, like, it was before this building existed. So it was, like, looking into the apartment building across the street. And I was, like, he was sitting there in the dark. And I was like, whoa, like, what are you doing in this office? He's like, oh, security patrol, assessing risks from the neighboring building. And I think back then I bought the story. And now I think it's probably more in line of what you're describing.
I'm saying, who's climbing on top of the wall? As in, it's not like, I don't know.
Yeah, so I think the Gemara here just means, like, look, this way, when he... If the wall is there, you know, if he's doing activities like standing on the wall, he'll be able to see in. Right? So, like, when he's omid al gabi akosel, he'll be able to see into the guy's chatzer.
Is that, like, a normal location to be in?
Right. I don't think it's crazy. Why wouldn't somebody stand on their wall, like, to do things?
Right.
That's how I read it. I don't know. Did anybody else have a... What? Ned?
It was like that.
Right, the intentionality seems to be like so that he shouldn't bend down and see it.
Yeah.
Right. It's a fair point. I would say then the point here is that we want to, well, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that this suggests that, what do you think follows from that reading, from your reading, Zakaria?
I think what follows is that, I think it's kind of, this only really makes sense in the context of the answer, that only because the bias is so severe that there's a little bit almost like, I don't want you, there's a difference between, I don't want you doing hasagriya to me, seeing my activities by default just because you want to hear katsur, and then there's another concern. I don't want you even, like, having the ability to see inside my house.
Right, so I think that second formulation on your reading is correct, meaning we want to make sure you don't have the ability to see in. The question is, does that then entail Zolti's view? Meaning that it's clearly about the use and enjoyment of the property because a homeowner can only be secure in their use of the property if they know that, right, the neighbor can't peer in. Whereas, like, if you're taking my response to Romy, that maybe the Gemara here is worried about Sneas in this ritual sense, of Ebenezer sense, then, like, why would the Gemara start worried about a case of somebody climbing on his wall? That's just like you're going to such lengths to, like,
look at around the filter.
Exactly. I think that's exactly the right way to put it. So I'm not sure. I need to think about it. So I think it depends. I don't have a strong view about what level of intentionality we ascribe to Kadesh Legat Sevier. I'd want to see if any of you shown him weigh in on this. So that's a good point. Did everybody see the back and forth on this? Okay. So I want to now turn to the Gemara's answer. And this is what I want to discuss. Hezekiah Dabai is shining. The Gemara says that halacha doesn't tell us much about Hezekiah. Or, on the other reading, it's a case where everybody concedes Hezek or Yishme Hezek because there's something different about a home. How do you read that answer? Hezek and Dabai is shining. So Josh, Hurt, did you see Rashi?
Yeah.
So what does Rashi say? Hezek and Dabai is shining.
Hezek and Dabai is shining. Sha'adam was the base of Dibrat Sinna. He's doing private things.
Okay, a person does private things in their home. So what is that? What's the significance of that? Why? So bias is therefore different. What's going on?
I think there's like an expected level of privacy that he's entitled to because he's doing private things. It's understood that he's doing.
Okay, so that's the first important point to make. I think Josh is right. Whereas Rashi speaks descriptively, like people do private things in their home. The real point here is not descriptive, but much more normative, a person is entitled to do private things in their home. Like a home is a private place that should give people the kind of concealment and privacy to do the types of things that people ordinarily do in their home, which are divrei tzina, correct? Okay. So a house is different because a home is supposed to protect privacy. Sha'adamos avesa divrei hatsnea. Divrei hatsnea, what do you take that to mean? Am I translating it correctly? Does this have any special connotations to you, or nothing more than what Josh said and what I said? Sha'adamos avesa divrei hatsnea, people do private things at home. Shmuel? Okay, so that's closer to Gershon, which we'll get to in a second. The comparative assessment. This seems to be like an absolute assessment, right? People should be afforded privacy in their homes. What type of privacy? Privacy from what? Privacy to do what? Anybody have a sense, or we just don't know? Romy, it looks like you have a thought on this.
No, I mean, it's clear.
Not clear, right? The Gemara doesn't tell us. Ned, do you have a thought on this?
It seems to be just generally the activities in the household are private.
Yeah, activities in the household are private. So nobody here has the... Romy?
I guess the one thing I might say is that it's not talking, it's actually not talking about anything specific. It's really just saying that a person has the right to have a private space for any reason. We're not concerned about anything in particular, but we do want to secure this space for a person. Even if a person's like, I just want to eat my lunch in private.
Yeah.
This space for
I think that's really well put. I think there's just a natural tendency, given like the word sneeze in our society and how it's used, like in Sichos Musar, maybe, to hear the word sneeze and immediately start thinking about modest dressing and almost like intimate marital conduct, right? I don't think there's any evidence in the Gemara here to sustain that, just from what we've seen, okay? Which I think is quite surprising in that, well, you might say, what's the significance of, what's the halakhic significance of just having privacy? Right? It's like, you see, if you go for the modest dress, sneeze and marital intimacy, so it's very easy to figure out why the halakha cares about it, okay? And I think that maybe that partially explains why people are inclined towards that reading. If, on the other hand, the halakha is saying, well, each person is entitled to a sphere of privacy, as Romy said, to eat lunch away from others, to, I don't know, like, read a comic book and nobody knows what they're doing or something, right? It's really much more intriguing that should be a halakhic value. When you read like modern thinkers, like if you read like Virginia Woolf, so you know, she has an essay, A Room of One's Own, and the essay is supposed to be that, like, you know, men are able to achieve intellectual success because they have a room of their own in society. Like, they have enough money and to be able to, like, rent their own space and, like, work in the privacy of their homes without people harassing them and always bothering them. But, like, women in her society weren't afforded what she calls, like, a room of their own, so they're not able to achieve the same kinds of intellectual and economic success that men are able to achieve. Sometimes you just need, like, privacy. So, like, in her view... Right. That's like a really important value, just like to have that private space to think away from the harassment of others. It's like a homeless person. Why is homelessness so bad? You can always sleep under the bridge or in the subway tunnels. Well, the answer is like you don't have privacy, right? So you can see why that's like a value I thought of in that way and Virginia Woolf's way. Maybe the point is that the halakha shares those values. It's not so controversial that it should. But, on the other hand, those values, the way we think of them, are sometimes thought of as distinctly modern values. Right? Like, what's wrong with everybody living in, like, a common kibbutz, sleeping all in the same auditorium? Right? The Chinese are, like, watching everything you do in your home. Right, so it's an interesting question whether that privacy for privacy's sake should rise to the level of this protective value. And I just want to say that I think on Romy's reading, it's kind of really interesting that the halakha sanctions this as a value in and of itself. Questions, comments on that? Josh?
I hear what you're saying, but it does make more sense to say that, like, different hasana means, like, private things, meaning, like, you know, getting undressed and stuff, maybe.
You think it means that?
I mean, otherwise, wouldn't you say something like divarim, like, bidsana or something? I don't know if that's correct here.
You're saying because a person does
divarim
hasana, you're saying, like, refers to, like, a...
You know, he gets undressed and he, like...
A specified subset of, like, private things. So, in your view...
So in your view,
what falls under the subset of different head snap?
If you want to take one view of head snap, you can say something like things that other people aren't allowed to look at. Like, you know. But,
okay, so Josh's interpretation of divrei hatsneia is what? Getting undressed?
Yes, yeah, something like that.
What else? Going to the bathroom?
Sure.
Showering, maybe, I guess that's. So to my mind, this is like going into the tzniyas in the Ebenezer, let's just say Yeridaya sense, right? Like, is that what you're getting at? As opposed to just like a sphere of privacy to do what you want. Like roaming, eat lunch without anybody watching you.
Right.
I guess even these things, there are two ways to talk about them. One is like in terms of dignity of the person, right? Maybe it's like undignified in a way to have to do this in front of others. And then there's like the... something more of like close to arayos type considerations. Although I don't know how much those could be disentangled. Right. So Romy's view is quite different. Romy, what falls under tznius in your view?
Anything. Meaning?
Yeah. Like people just a sphere of privacy, right? Playing cards or...
Right. The problem with that obviously is that you're not... It's not like... A lot of values not that every person should have that. They're not trying to give everybody a space to have that. We're just saying that once you... It's just weird. Like, once you buy a space, then you have the right to have that sphere. But it's not like we're saying, oh, you know, we have a home.
Everyone's entitled to a home.
Right.
it's a little weird. Interesting. I'm not sure. I want to think about that, right? You might say, well, if hezekria is so important, right, and until you have a halachic value in making sure that people have that sphere of privacy.
Yeah, I mean, you would just assume that then, you know, unless there were no issues of homeless people. Like,
right. You see, if privacy in that sense, in the Romy sense, let's just say anything for now. In the modern liberal sense, it's probably understood that like you could only grow to be who you are if you're not like always trying to do what other people want you to do, right? Like you kind of need some time to be away from others, to develop yourself. So it's an interesting further question to try to figure out, like, why is that type of privacy a halachic value? Don't expect the Rishonim to shed light on that. It's too much of a meta question. But it's a natural question that follows from the halacha recognizing this as an important value. Ariel?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the Tosfot on that.
Nafal Shaini, right.
What would you need to be a desire for privacy?
Well, in that case, you could say that they haven't reached an equilibrium where they could avoid each other's private things. Like, you use it in the morning, I use it at night. Which is just a way of getting at privacy protection.
Okay, so it's not necessarily understanding
these are
the things.
Correct. Right. So I think what's going for Josh's reading is that, I guess you could read Divrei Hatzneia as a definite set of, like, private type things. Whereas on Romy's reading, though, you could just read this as saying an indeterminate set of private stuff that you want to keep private, right? I don't know if Divrei Hatzneia has like a connotation of like the following list, right? Which is the way Josh is reading it. Tzachar, you have a view on that, or?
I'm more inclined to read it not euphemistically or indefinite, as in, I think it's used by like Kutzer and Bina and other sorts of things. Then this is a
just privacy.
Yeah, Rashi is not making as hard of a chiluk as he could. In other words,
yeah.
If he wanted to say, he could have said, "Oh, you have to be watchers of arayos and the tashmish and others." He could do that. That's a way larger concern. He doesn't say that. He just says divrei hatzneia, which is a language usually in the Gemara, which is kind of Kutzer.
Yeah.
Which is like,
right, I think that's very fair. I put on some makoros later on in the source sheet. When you have a chance, just like look at them very briefly. I think the word tznius connotes private, right? You can look at some of these examples here. literally, like, the Tanakh meaning is, like, things, like, between you and yourself, things between you and one other person, as opposed to public things, right? Even in Shas, all over, like, parhesia versus sinna is just used to characterize the private versus public functions. So in Hilchos Avelos, right? In Hilchos Avelos, you can do Avelos with parhesia, but you could do Avelos with sinna. Anyway, no one's watching, you could do Avelos privately, like on Shabbos and Yom. In Psachim, when the Mishnah, when the Gemara talks about putting away your chametz to burn, you put it in a tzinna, which is just like a closed box, right? Like a secure area. So I think it's very clear from, you know, you can look at these examples that tznius in the semantic meaning means just like a sphere of privacy. Doesn't have a valence beyond that. Thoughts on that, or? Okay, this is very important for pinning down Hezekria. Okay, so coming back to our cases in the Gemara, that's Rashi's reading. I just want to make a comment on Rabbeinu Gershom. So what's going on here in Rabbeinu Gershom? Ned, I think you put this on the WhatsApp initially. So did you have time to formulate your thoughts after we destroyed you on the Rashba? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about the Rashba. You didn't deserve it. No, absolutely.
So now that this is Rashi. So, according to the first formulation, that's just the issue. And now the Shabbat is about to be the plus there. You might have to do some more with the person's presence in the house. It has something to do with the way, it's not the way that she uses the house.
Maybe. So let me just sneer at Tasha to buy a thing.
That's really great. That's
what a person uses a house for, right? Well, let me say a little more. I think what I would emphasize here is this. And it could be that the girsa of Rabbeinu Gershom already assumed, because Hezekiah Dabai is shiny, shani tfei mi'chatzer, as opposed to shiny, so you might have a different girsa in the Gemara. But I think what I want to draw out here is what? Why is this a little different than just the Gemara's phrase, Hezekiah Dabai is shiny? Ariel.
Because the word tfei implies that it's similar activities, but just a more level of privacy.
Similar but more, okay. It's definitely drawing a contrast. Say, but I want to say something stronger than that, Romy.
Once you say that it's more than a chatzer, and we're assuming that there's no hezekiah in a chatzer, then that should mean that the issue in the bai does not have to be.
So I think it's very possible. I mean, that's obvious. That's our first question, right? Like, are these shinies saying, and therefore there is hezekiah, or that there's no hezekiah at all? Good. So let me just say what I want to say along those lines. That tfei is a comparative word. So as between the chatzer and the bayis is a more private area. The inish tznia b'tashmish de bayis tfei mi b'chatzer. A person uses his house for private things more so than a person uses his chatzer for private things. Now, you might say that what Gemara is doing here is saying that's why there's no hezekiah in a chatzer, but there's hezekiah in a bayis. That's one way of reading it. What I want to say is that when we look at the cases in the first part of Bava Basra, the Gemara could be telling us one of two things. We're trying to figure out a threshold of harm that is actionable under Jewish law. How does that reach my ethic? When are you harmed under these conditions? Okay. Alternatively, the Gemara might be engaged in a different type of project, or at least some of these cases might be governed by a different type of question. Which is that, look, And we'll read some things along these lines. Property rights, property use, it's just like, it's a mess. It's a bloody mess. Anytime you assign a right to one person, it comes at the expense of another person. And like how are we supposed to like assign these rights? It's like, we'll see some cases. I'll give you some reading. One person wants to have like a really loud machine operating in his house, and the neighbor just like wants like peace and quiet, right? Because he's a doctor and he has to listen to his stethoscope all day, so he needs peace and quiet. It's like, how do you determine like who gets to use their property, right? If one person's using the loud machine, the neighbor can't do the quiet stuff. So like, one person's rights have to go. So how do you adjudicate between those two? There's no obvious way to do that. Okay. Obviously, they both have a right to use their property. The law has to step in and say, like a traffic light, right? Who has the right of way as between these two considerations? Okay. Now, when we talk about who has the right of way, sometimes it's not even right to think of it in terms of one person versus another person. Oftentimes, it's between classes of people. So, as between pedestrians and cars, who should have the right to use public streets? Okay? Kind of an open question, right? As between bicyclists and motor vehicles. Who should get to use Broadway? Used to be cars, now it's bicycles, at least in large areas of Broadway, right? At least one lane. I think part of Broadway shut down entirely. Now, one person might have a car and they might also have a bicycle, right? So you're not choosing, I mean, that same person might have both a car and a bicycle, right? So you're not choosing between the interests of person A versus the interests of person B. You're just trying to adjudicate between like the interests of bicycles, bicycle riders in general, and car drivers in general, even if those two sets overlap in a lot of cases, right? So it's not one person's rights at the expense of another. It's kind of just trying to divvy up the space between two different interests, like the interest of bikes and the interest of motor vehicles. So in our case, the Gemara says, when you have a bais abutting a chatzer, we impose restrictions on the chatzer owner. Correct? Why? Because a zikah bais shiny. And Rabbeinu Gershom says, oh, it's because inish tzniyah b'tashmish bais tefim b'chatzer. Which could be read as simply saying, as between protecting the interests of the Baal HaChatzer and the bias, there's more of an interest in protecting the privacy of homes. So, we are going to therefore restrict the use of the Baal HaChatzer in favor of protecting the privacy of homes. Okay? Because inish tznia b'tashmish tebayis tfei mi b'chatzer, or inish tznia shamish b'bayis tfei mi b'chatzer. Maybe he gets more use out of a home than a chatzer. So here the law, like the question of motor vehicles versus bikes on Broadway, has to choose between maximizing the use of chatzeros and the use of homes. Where would you choose between those two? So the Gemara is saying, his naked body is shiny. No, there's something special about a home. People get more use out of their home than chatzeros, so the law should favor homeowners rather than chatzeros users. Does that make sense? My point here is just that Hezega the Bayit Shiny need not be taking a stand on. Everybody agrees now that there's Hezek, Riyah, and Abayis. The point here is just, look, we have a clash between maximizing use of Chetzeros or maximizing the privacy of homes. As between the two of them, we care more about ensuring the privacy of homes, maximizing the use of homes. So we see the difference between those two ways of thinking about it. In my reading, the Gemara is just engaging in a comparative analysis between two values and giving us a reason why we should side with the homeowners. Bill, do you have a hand on this?
Or?
Yeah. You hear my reading?
Yeah.
Okay. In which case, I may not even be taking a stand on like Hezek, Riyah, Shmei Hezek, or Lav Shmei Hezek. It's just saying like... as between these two things, it makes sense to protect one interest over the other. Right? Romy and then Josh.
Is your point then just like only to say it's not weighing on Hezekiah? Like, is that something distinction or difference that I'm like noticing in that between those two reads?
So A, it doesn't amount to then saying that everybody agrees there's Hezekiah in this case.
Okay.
Whereas on Rashi's reading, we're reading a yes, right? Meaning everybody. Or in Rashi's reading, you might say a house is like an absolutely protected area of privacy. And Rabbi Gershon's reading is just saying, as between the interests of the Baal Chatzer and the interests of the Baal Bayis, we're going to protect the interests of the Baal Bayis. Right? But more than that, I think there's the further point that the Gemara takes no stand on the absolute privacy of homes. The Gemara is just taking a stand on the comparative value of maximizing privacy of homes relative to the restrictions on wall buildings and chatzeros.
But it's possible that another value would even override.
For sure, right? Or maybe even that the value.
If you say Hezek, Riyah, and Abayi, I mean, everyone agrees that Hezek, Riyah, and Abayi, then it would seem. I mean, something could still override that, no?
Yeah, something could still override it. But the point is even that it's not that a person has this automatic right to privacy in their home. And that's not what you get. So it's not like, let's take, what's a good example here? So, I'm trying to think of a good example off the top of my head. I'll just leave it for now as it's a comparative reason for one value over the other rather than an absolute value of privacy. Conceding the point that even absolute values could sometimes be overridden. Net, do you have a good example for me? Or? And which one? It's in the nature of people to be private, such that they use their homes more than chatzeros. Nice reading, right? people are private creatures. It's empirically true.
It's like a lonely man of faith.
That's right. Yeah. For people are private, right? Indeed, right? They use their homes more than chatzeros. I think it's an empirically true statement about people, right? People use their homes more than they use their backyards, even backyard lovers. Everybody agree with that empirical assessment about people? I think it's true, right? So that's a reason why if the law has to choose between assigning a right to home use versus a backyard use, it'll assign it to home use. Right? So like in my case, my neighbors like to barbecue and have like a campfire in their backyard. But it gets smoke into my study. Right? So the law should say, protect Rosenzweig's study over the Zionist neighbors' B'nai Akiva barbecues. I'm just kidding, they're not B'nai Akiva barbecues. Although they did make Aliyah. Right, because like we want to protect home use more than backyard use. Ned, you here? Nice reading, I think. Okay, Josh Hart, you got a hand. Do you agree with my analysis here? Or?
Well, I'm just confused. I feel like you're trying, as Romy said, you're trying to say that this doesn't necessarily come to a conversation of
Hasagria.
Correct. Or Hasagria, but we're talking about protecting the interests of one party or another. Like, what are we protecting?
Well, you're saying, well, we're still protecting it from the peering eyes of the neighbor, right?
That still seems to be the goal here, building something.
True, but remember that the question of Hezekiah Shmei, Hezekiah Shmei, Hezekiah is posed in a symmetrical case. One Baal Chatzer against another Baal Chatzer, who then reciprocates by being Mazik, right? So A is Mazik B, B is Mazik A. That's where the Gemara poses the question, Hezekiah Shmei, Hezekiah Lav Shmei, Hezekiah. And there, it's an absolute question. It's got to be an absolute question because they're in parity with each other. Right? So we want to know, is there objective wrongdoing to require a wall? Maybe, right? Something like that. The Gemara is saying, how can you conflate that question with a very different comparative question, which is just like, as between home use and backyard use, which should the law uphold? Obviously, home use.
That doesn't speak to a wall going. Like, home use can still be totally...
No, but here, right, so the Baal Chatzer is building a wall around his Chatzer. And the Gemara is saying, we're going to limit where he could build his wall. So let's say, we're restricting his use of his Chatzer even. Right? Because now he has to move it in a little bit to stay away from your windows. And the reason why we're doing that is because we just like homes better than we like yards.
Yeah, well, the Gemara is giving a little more color than that and saying, here's why. You know,
what's the why?
You have to move your wall up and down so that you're not looking inside. I think it's...
So it's true that it does... the thing that is restricting the house use is looking inside, maybe lights, like the natural light component. But you don't need to come on to Hezekiah, like whether Hezekiah or Shmei Hezek for that. All you need is the empirical fact that these things annoy homeowners, right? They like make homes less valuable or less usable. That's my point. No right necessarily is violated in that case. Okay. That makes sense. Another way of putting this, Romy, and this is to go back to your question, is that unlike the Hezek or Yishmei Hezek part, you might look at it as if somebody's rights violated. Right? Like, has he been wronged by through the Riyah? On the comparative assessment, it never even comes to that question because we're asking like ex ante. How should we assign the use rights in the first place? Like, there's no fact of the matter as to whether Broadway should be for bikes or for cars, right? And now we're just trying to assign who should have the right to Broadway, and we say, oh, we like bikes over cars. That's like that's
the. So there are no fundamental rights when it comes to privacy of anything. They're only comparative.
The Gemara's point is from this brisa, as they can divide it shiny, all you get is that. When we're trying to adjudicate between assigning rights to chatzeros and rights to batim, we like batim more than chatzeros. And maybe Rabbi Gershom is telling us there's this naturalistic reason for that, right? Because men are private creatures. Josh, does that make sense? Is that a better way of putting it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, everybody good? Comments, questions on that? Okay. Good. Let me just say one more comment along these lines. So if you look at the Meiri here on Beis HaMeveis, and, you know, I'm less interested in the Meiri's substantive position and more in just you know, using his position to lend a little more color. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get back to your bar in a second. To lend a little more color to your Ben Gershom's view. The Meiri says that the house defeats the chatzer, right? So it's the Baal chatzer who has to limit his use of the wall, move his wall away from the bias. Why? What did Meiri say? Did I get a chance to see this? I might have added this in the
that week.
What?
Did you add this?
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Ned?
Curry assumes rights that exist.
Oh, because the house was there first. Right, he says, the Baal HaChatzer has got to move his wall or not build his wall. If the Baal HaChalon was there, and then somebody comes along and they build a yard, the guy building the yard's got to be limited in where he could put his fence, because the guy who built the house was there first. So, and again, he says, because he's a mochzav. So notice that this, again, is not like a principled point about who's harming who. The way we adjudicate between the chatzer owner and the bayis owner is really just on the basis of some like external consideration of like, well, who's there first? We wouldn't require this type of accommodation if they're building at the same time. Right? There's no fact of the matter as to who has the right of way if they're building at the same time. But if the Baal HaBayis is there first, then we're going to honor the status quo. Okay? And I'm just saying by analogy, Rabbeinu Gershom saying, you know, this isn't really an issue of one person's rights being trampled on. It's more the point that, whereas the Meiri says we'll honor the status quo, Rabbeinu Gershom says, you know, we adjudicate the dispute by favoring the Baal HaBayis because we have a better interest in protecting Baal HaBayis. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like that there's like a muhzakas or something as...
Or the parents by direction.
What?
Parents by direction.
Correct. But like it's like the status quo like matter. Like what what things that are muhzak in place already. Yes, man? Yeah. Okay, one comment here, very quick comment on Baruch HaSvardi. Anybody get a chance to see him? Ezra, maybe? So he just says, Hezek HaDabai is shiny. Hezek HaDabai says, Vadai Hezek Gamarhu. So I think he's in the absolute camp. Right? There's something very special about Abayis, not just Batim over Chatzeros. I think he's closer to Rashi. So everybody concedes that Hezek HaDabai is a big issue. Why, Ezra?
This just made me radiant because we just went so
is there an answer forthcoming? I can't see behind the mask. What do you think? Read it for us. Shiashke follow Beveso. Okay, so good. Shiashke follow Beveso, which means what? Because the neighbor can observe him in his house. Mikol Inyan. In all matters. Bain
la ayin.
Oh, why is that? That's a good
question.
So I don't know what this. It's a little mysterious to me what the contrast here is. Anybody have a sense of how to parse that? Bain la ayin, bain la arayas.
Ayin is short for ayin ara.
Oh, okay. You're saying. Bein la'ayin as in ayin hara, as in he's exposed to you. It's interesting. Vein la arayos. So arayos here, I mean, this is the first formulation for sure, talking about arayos. Right, that's like that second connotation of sneas. So Rav Hasfardi says that's one consideration. So just like arayos, right? You'll see intimate things that ought not be seen. Okay. The question that I'm on the fence about is, what about the first part? Shiyashi called the base of Nikol Inyan. What do you take that to mean? That you'll observe everything he does in his house? Sorry, you want to help me out? What do you think it's?
Just in his house. So maybe if you line, like in the verb sense, like two years, like lying, as in he's observing everything in his house. Either violation number one, whether just pure observation of everything that's going on, or violation number two, specific.
Yeah, that's how I read it. That's how I read it. I've been lying. I guess you're verbing it, like lying. I read it as like lying, as in like just to see, like just like, you know, just the fact that it's exposed to your eye.
Right.
Either of those seems to me as a sufficient condition to trigger hezekriya. Right. The point is that shiyashke follow based in mikolinian, like everything you do in your house is open to the observation of this outsider. Whether it be arayos or whether it be just like the fact that he sees you. Net?
Can ayin also mean presence?
What?
Can ayin also mean presence? Like something is put ayin, it's present.
Interesting. Like presence.
So you can see if he's there.
Yeah, interesting. I wonder if that usage of the N comes from like it's visible, right? But yeah, it's a good question. So I mean, I think bein la'ayin, bein la'arayos means just like the fact that he's observing everything, or whether it's arayos. Like either of those is a sufficient condition to trigger hezek gamaru. Romy, you on board for that reading?
That's how I read it.
Yeah, so you should like this, right? Because it means it's very clear from his formulation that you don't need to appeal exclusively to arayos to justify why hezek d'vayah is shiny. The real important point is yishkabal beveso. Mikolinian, like everything you do in the house is exposed. Now, one thing that I'm not sure about in this reading is whether, is it crucial that you're like fully exposed? Right? Mikolinian, like what if somebody only has like partial possibility to see into your home? But maybe that's not important for us to pursue right now. So what I want to take away from Baruch Hasfardi right now is that it's clearly more than just the arayos consideration when we talk about tzinah. I'm not sure if that the crucial point here has to be, though, like the mikolinian, meaning like you've lost use of your home from the private things it's supposed to afford you to do. See, you could read this as saying that it's not the whole in you. Like you lose that private element of your house when you're open to his observation. Doesn't matter. I don't think I'd worry about that for now. Comments on this, Amina Barov? Josh, you had a comment on this?
I'm not fully sure I understand what he's saying. He's saying that somebody is looking into his house all the time? Like, where do you get that from?
That he can, I think. Hezek d'vayah is shiny.
Like, why is that different than a field? Like, someone looking into your field all the time also. I don't really get it.
Well, because a house is supposed to offer you private privacy. Right? So, hezek d'vayah is shiny. It's hezek gamur in that the home, which is supposed to be private, is now open to this guy's observation. And particularly the privacy is not limited to arayos, it is b'chol inyan. Okay. Is Chayri good proof from Ben Baruch?
I'm not sure it's a lot of things.
Why are you not sure?
You think it over.
Okay. Great. So let's talk now. So that's the Hezek d'vayah shiny case. Gaga slamach l'chatzer chavero. So what's this case? Kobe, did you get a chance to see it?
God has some of the right to remove next to someone's
Fatsu. Also, the marker before a data element. You have to make a marker to be like a fence for the data element. And like, implying that there's some sort of entropy problem here. Like Shiny Hotdog, the other way about Fatsu before a data element, the DD could be a HHBG. I like how you use my Fatsu as like a place, like, as like, I have Kabua that I use that. So, you don't have to go with the dash off. Low your team about high HNS, so leak about it. I don't know when you're going to go and use it.
Yeah. So the issue here is you have a gag against a chatzer. How do you characterize? So that the Gemara seems to require a kosel. Osin lo make gavo adalat amos. Okay. We'll talk about the two gear cells here. So that implies that hezek reishme hezek. Yes. Okay. The Gemara's answer, shiny house, in that case is different. And we get a mouthful of an answer. What exactly is the answer?
We saw that this kind of device with 80, it's almost like two parts it. Like one part is that like I already have my cutscene like a kabua place, and your god is not a kabua place to me. And then almost like,
yeah, what does that mean? That one's kabua, one's not kabua?
Like, I don't really expect my cutscene to be like a place where I can have a privacy and no one can see it, but your god will.
Oh.
Like you're not supposed to use the roof of your house
for
like whatever you want to use it for.
Great. So, emphasizing that part of the Gemara, I think you're right to emphasize that. What kind of a consideration of that is that? L'didik fi'ali tashmishi. L'didach lo kivyalacha tashmish. Lo kivyalach tashmish. Tashmish sach.
Yeah, it's like a little bit weird when it's almost like we're saying that.
Okay, I wouldn't say I don't think it's right to emphasize chronology, because in this case we don't know who's there, who is there first, do we?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that the case where he first had his cousin, you know, he's saying I would have a place to be in Kabua, and you don't have any. The other guy already had his dog in Kabua place.
Well, I don't know about the tense. I think you're inserting the tense here that I already had. I don't see that in the Gemara. Benji?
Seems like it's a comparative value set. Meaning the most private thing is a house, then a chatzer, then a god.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I read it. Meaning the Gemara is saying that as between a god and a chatzer, chatzer's kavua for tashmish, for usage. Gav is not kavua for tashmish. So as between kavua use and non-kavua use, the law should side with the kavua use. Why are they necessarily incompatible? Because lo yadanave idna Salika basis. Because I don't know when you are going to use your roof, and that bars me from getting kavua tashmish from my chatzer. That's why I read that line of the Gemara. So again, it's really the Gemara saying this is an hezek riya question. This is just a question of as between a chatzer and a baal gav, as between the bicycle riders and the cars. Who should we assign the use right of Broadway to? And the Gemara's answer here is assign it to the Bala Chatzer because that's more consistent with Kavua Tashmish.
I think the problem there is that it doesn't work so on the readings. He's very much like emphasizing we need to be a lead. Not like this is a place that is Kavua for use. It's more of a I have made this place a Kavua use and you have not made your place a Kavua.
Okay, so even if you want to move it away from general policy to the actual usage of the parties, it still becomes, as Benji said, Benji, what was the phrase you used?
Comparative value.
Yeah, it still becomes a comparative value question, right? So, like, it's your summer home, it's my permanent home. Like, the law should favor people's first homes over their summer homes, right? So, like, I'm kavua here, you're not. The law should favor me.
Sort of. I mean, the implication of that would be like, it's only, it shouldn't, God and Chatzer shouldn't matter, right? Like, let's say the other guy's in God that he's going to use,
Yeah. 100%. I'm sure when we look closer at the Rishonim, you'll see, well, what about a Gag HaKavul HaTashmish? And then you'll concede the point in that case. A lot of discussion in the Rishonim about that. 100%. Even the Gemara, right? It seems like it depends on that empirical reality, right? I don't think there's a way to get around that, other than a low plug type thing. But in principle, I think that's right. Kobe, you on board?
Maybe.
Maybe. Zolti?
If it's just a comparative value issue, then why do you need the last three of the Gemara? Why do you need to say, oh, and I don't know when you're going to be there, because I don't know when to, like, when you're going to be going and coming go?
Because that's trying to explain why he's not getting maximal use out of, right? So you might say, like, okay, you barely use his gog, so why are you complaining? Right? You can still do all your private things. Right, after all, and the answer is no. Like, the uncertainty makes it impossible for me to maximize the use of the chatz there.
Right, so then I would maybe argue it's not really has anything to do with, like, I'm still not so clear what you mean by comparative value, but then it's not really, to me it doesn't seem like, oh, it's an issue of one place being valued more than the other. It's more of a place of, like, you're going to be in a spot where you're going to put me in a spot where I'm going to be constantly uncertain of your whereabouts, and therefore I'm going to be, like, therefore that, like, that stresses me out.
So your point is what? Your point is that this is, like, not just trying to maximize the use of property overall? Something like that.
It is maximizing use of property, but it's also the owner of the chatzer not being, you know, in a comfortable state because he doesn't know what to expect from his neighbor, his own group. Because he doesn't know when he's going to be there or not.
But I still think that right, I still think that. So look at Rabbeinu Baruch HaSfardi for a second, just to help us out. I think his point is that were the Baal HaChatzer able to do his private things in the Chatzer, then the Baal HaGag would not. So, like, let's say he was able to put up a curtain or something, then we wouldn't require the wall to go up for the Baal HaGag because there's no, it's not a zero-sum game, right? His use of the gog is not really affecting the guy downstairs. So, like, the argument of lo yadana b'hai idna salika v'asis, I think, is just a way of getting at why the fact of the Baal HaGag using his gog infrequently impinges on the use of the Baal HaChatzer. Well,
I think I'm trying to say something similar. Yeah. I just don't like the comparative value seems a little weird to me, but I guess that's...
By comparative value, I just mean that the Gemara here is engaged, like, in this kind of open question, a policy question about, like, to whom it should assign the right of way to, like in the, like, how to use Broadway. And then it's saying, these are the reasons why we should give it to one over the other. As opposed to saying, one party is being harmed by the actions of the other party, and then we have to step in to protect him. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. Let's hear from Romy, Josh, and then Ariel.
I think there are a bunch of, like, why is the gog less private than the chatzer? And why does the chatzer suddenly get the right to privacy? I mean, if it's chatzer, then there's nothing, but then just by virtue of there's something being less important, you now gain privacy rights?
So just in virtue of...
I mean, if there was a chatzer next to me, I wouldn't have any rights to privacy. Now that there's something less important, I can now limit what you can do.
Yeah. So it seems to be the question is, what's the cost to the other party? Right? So the cost to the Baal HaGag, arguably, is minimal, because lo kavula tashmish.
But why is that? That's not a factor here, because it doesn't matter if we're framing it as a matter of privacy or usage. Then it's not. No one's limiting his. It's not like he doesn't have. It's not his usage is not being limited. I can't even see in this room, presumably, if I'm all the way down there. So the only thing that's happening is that he can see into mine, and then it shouldn't even be relevant that there's no comparative value here at all. Because the only thing that's changing is where you're living from.
Well, no, one's a Gog and one's a
Chatzer. Right, but... Right.
So the
I guess what I'm saying is, fine, so there are two pieces to it. I don't think... I would ask the question that you first asked, and then I think the secondary question, or maybe the question that should come first, is, you know, you shouldn't have to explain this issue of privacy because the Gog... Then it's not... It doesn't do the fact that he's a Gog. Because his privacy is not...
Well, except for the fact that the Gemara assumes that a Gog is lo kavila tashmish.
But that shouldn't be relevant. Why is it relevant that he is not doesn't need to do private things there? Because that's not even a question. Even if he wanted to do private things there, he should be able to do them perfectly fine. Because I can't see.
No, the question is, does the Baal HaChatzer below have a right against... Are we going to force the Baal HaGog to build a kosel above to protect the Baal HaChatzer below, right?
And what's the loss for the... What's the consideration for the Baal HaGog to not do that?
For him to not do what?
To not have to build a wall. Like, what's he losing by building a wall?
The money for the wall, I guess.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with his Kviya L'Tashmish.
Well, given that... You're
saying that by building the wall, he's not going to use the space that he used to build the wall.
Reformulate the question.
This question right now is that I don't understand how you're reading the Kviyot Tashmish for the Gog.
So the Gemara is saying, a Gog is Lo Kavula Tashmish, a Chatzer is Kavula Tashmish.
Therefore,
who should we impose the cost on?
Right.
Of building the wall. Who should we view as the Mazik? Who should we view as having the presumptive right to be there and restrict the other person from using their thing?
Right.
And Gemara says, the Chatzer.
Right.
Why? Because the Chatzer is Kavula Tashmish.
So that I understand. The Chatzer is Kavula Tashmish. But the fact that the Gog is not Kavula Tashmish has nothing to do with it.
Well, it does. That's why otherwise we'll say, how could we say that using a Gog is Mazik a Baal HaChatzer if you have equal right to use the Gog as he has to use his Chatzer?
But his usage of the Gog is not relevant at all. Nobody's trying to limit his usage of the Gog. The reason that there's a one-way street in this case is not because his usage of the Gog is less important. It's because he's higher up, so no one's going to damage him.
No,
I don't think the Messias is obvious. I know that Rainer Gershon says explicitly, but I don't think the Messias is obvious. I think they might be actually on the same level. Not just like neighbors, it means like same altitude.
Right, so if you want it, I understand if you want to be like Rabbi Gershom. I find it hard to argue that that's the shot and that Rabbi Gershom isn't doing something forced to be responding to what I'm saying now.
You have a lot of explicit cases where it's just like, oh, that's he says Zolan always go, or this is not, and like if you look at Mar Dab Bubble and Babes, which things lay on the poetry, it's like Dab Samoth, and then you have Cluster Lamalami Cluster.
Where the floor levels could be even.
Right. Are we buying that? Meaning, if we're buying that, then I guess I would move to the other questions, which is why is the Gog less private? Why is everything governed by privacy in the first place? Why does everything matter privacy?
Right, so the way I wanted to read this is that if you want to impose a cost on somebody, there has to be a reason why the other person prima facie has the right of way. That's the comparative analysis.
Right.
And the Gemara's point, the way I read it, is that if a Gog is only lo kavula tashmish and a Chatzer is kavula tashmish, then the Chatzer has the right of way, Baal HaGog has to pay. He has to do something if he wants to be able to use his Gog equally. Were it to be the case counterfactually that a Gog is kavula tashmish, and the Baal HaGog and the Baal HaChatzer are on par with each other, then there would be no reason to impose the cost on the Baal HaGag rather than equally between them.
Are you assuming that they're the same height?
No.
Okay, so then I don't think it's relevant, the Tashkish, which is not relevant. Meaning, the reason that it's not, oh, I have to explain, the God, the Baal HaGag has to do something in order for him to use his God. He needs his God because no one's looking at his God. So, and the other way around,
no, because his use of his God imposes a cost on the Baal HaChatzer.
Okay.
Right?
But the use of his God has nothing to do with the fact.
Doesn't the use of his God impose a cost on the Baal HaChatzer?
Sure.
Because now the Baal HaChatzer can't do private things there.
Yeah.
So isn't that problematic?
Yeah, but it's not problematic because he... So you're saying no matter why your thing, your usage is bad, you can't use it unless you account for the inequality that you've created.
Correct. That's the whole point of the, right? It's just a value analysis of which interest we want to succeed.
But you're saying that if I had a chatzer that was that high, there'd be no problem.
Arguably not, right? Because we have an equal interest in promoting chatzer use. So there's no reason to restrict one chatzer use and for someone else's chatzer use.
Okay.
That's the way I'm reading it. You hear what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That makes sense.
That's nice. Not like even where one is ostensibly the mazik, one's the nisa.
That's my whole point. My whole point is that we're not talking about a mazik and nisa until you do the value analysis. That's the whole point.
No, I think that's higher than that. I think you say compares, and if there were.
Yes, exactly. That's the point. The point is that the Hezek, on this reading, Hezek Yeshmei Hezek is about, are you a mazik? That becomes relevant when there's parity between them. Right? Are you doing something wrong? Are you mazikin? Right? We all know what mazik is. Mazik, like, it's wrong to cut his arm off even if he cuts your arm off. Right? That's the nezek issue. So even when there's parity, chatzer to chatzer, Hezek Yeshmei Hezek will say, now there's a chiyuv to build the kosel, you can't do mazik. If these cases are moving away from Hezek Riyah and their answer, they're saying shiny hasam, blah blah blah, shiny hasam, not Hezek Riyah, right? Then the point is that we're not talking about those objective wrongdoings. We're just talking about economic interests, competing economic values. Right? Does New York City make more money from having bikes on Broadway or from having cars on Broadway? So which economic interests do we want to flourish? So houses versus chatzeros, houses. We're assigning the right to houses. Chatzeros versus gagim, chatzeros. Right? That's the way I'm reading this discussion. Is that helpful, Zakaria? Okay. I think it's a very good sheet. It's annoying to get here, but I think once, like, if you work through this point, if you work through this analysis, basically you're working through an economic, it's the Gemara is engaged in divvying up property based off some competing values, maybe just economic values, which is a very different type of thing than the Hezek, Shmei Hezek type question. You have a thought?
So even, no matter the Rabbi Levine article, is efficiency value and alpha.
Okay, so that's what we're talking about. Yeah, this is what to talk about.
It's as blank as white as you're saying.
It doesn't look. It doesn't have to be purely economic in like dollars and cents, but it could be, it could be economic in terms of just like what in like does the halachic interest in Gagin versus Chatzeros is based off Tashmish, right? Maximizing use, right? That I think it's a very rich philosophical inquiry if that's what underlies the Gemara's considerations here, right? That's exactly the point. It's okay for the Gemara to be engaged in that kind of policy analysis, right? Okay. We had other hands up, or Josh, do you have a hand?
I do not.
Just Josh. You have a hand?
I'm good now.
Okay. Ariel and Kobe.
So, does your view take away the idea that a God must be higher up?
No. It's okay with God being same level. On my reading.
Yeah. So either way it works.
Either way it works. Correct. Because a Gog is
because of frequency, because of God is going to be less often, it has the second right away versus the first right away.
For whatever reason, there's a greater halachic interest in maximizing use of chatzeros, which are generally kavua, versus gagin. What if this gag happens to be kavua? It's an open question.
I think Daniel asked, based on the reading of the hierarchical structure, based on usage, what's the point in the second phrase of Leah, the Yinambe, Yitin, Sigur, the Adad?
So I think that line is just there.
That seems to be the same case as Nepal Kotel before, that they already were used to it, and therefore they're going to need it. Just in terms of knowing when to be there, you wouldn't know if it's not normal, you know, the proof when he's going to be there, when he's not, you can't judge it, and therefore you just got to be more careful.
Right, that's why it's really cutting into the Baal Chatzer's use. If he was able to predict, then you could say, you know, the use rights are not really incompatible. Right? He gets his roof, he uses it to sunbathe for an hour a day. He gets 1 hour of use on his gog, you get 23 hours of use of your Chatzer. So there's no need to restrict the Baal Gog in that case when you guys could just reach some equilibrium on your own.
But could you make the hierarchical argument without that last time?
You could, yeah, maybe. Since there,
it's starting conflict, you only have to choose which one to get precedence if there's conflict.
Right, you need real conflict between the usage in order to get to this, to bring this question to a head, right? Okay, Kobe.
Yeah, I just want to say how if you say that's about the trying to decide like who to choose between the number of damage going on. Like, so I understand, so either the Kvili is irrelevant, or the God of the Chatz is irrelevant, right? So either like, the God, right? So either God of the Chatz are just willing to be using here, but really it's all about Kvili, or the God of the Chatz are like certain categories, and like the Kvili is like irrelevant, right? So why can't I say that this Kvili is what I can say for the body, so right? Like, what if I have a house, and like, for my Chatz, I'm Kvili, I'm willing to use that Chatz.
I think it's an open question. I think it's exactly, you know, the Gemara is always confusing, right? And it's always hard to know, like, the Rishonim disagree when it's hard to know which value the Gemara is really hitting on. So I think here it's an open question. Is the Gemara making an ontological statement about Gagin versus Chatzeros? Probably not. Right? It's kind of strange to take a view on like Gagin versus Chatzeros for all time and eternity. Presumably the Gemara here is really taking a stand on Kviya Tashmish versus non-Kviya Tashmish. Right? So I think you can make a similar point about second homes versus primary homes, right? As between assigning a right to a prime, so you have neighbors, one's a vacation home, one's a full-time home. It might make sense to assign the property right to the full-time home.
Right, but then it's not only about, I mean, you can call it comparative, right, not about who's going to give it to, but it's really just about who's kavua to you. I mean, it's more like, I mean, it's much easier to do because Gemara is saying that the problem is that I have this kavua place and now you want to do something to the mess with.
So again, you're injecting the tenses of I was already kavua to have.
Well, if it's not already kavua to have, then why is it?
Kavua is a present thing, right? Is my present use ongoing and consistent, or is my present use sporadic and intermittent? As between the two of them, right? So the property right should be assigned to the permanent user. No?
You say kavua means different things. Like one place where it says the geek feeling that the god will kavua is about, he's really, the god follow god was really always kavua, he was just kavua, like not the one use it.
Well, you're using kavua in a different way than I am using it. You're injecting the tenses into kavua itself. I just think kavua means a permanent user. So let's say, it's false, but let's say, me and Arid Blau, who share an office, both got there at the same time. Okay? So let's say we got there at the same time, but he's there 5 days a week and I'm there 3 days a week. Right? So if there's some use conflict, there's an argument to be say, assign the right. So let's say he wants to have a meeting and I want to have a meeting. So you have to have some procedure for assigning the use right when there's a conflict. Right? So one view is to say, assign the right to the person who's kavua b'tashmish, not to the person who's low kavua. So that means a Rabbi Blau would have the right of way to have meetings in the office at my expense.
That's not kavua low kavua. That's like kavua more than less kavua.
What do you guys think?
I think the Ramchand Dhamma fully expressed as like a consistency of use, as in like you're saying.
Like I'm saying.
Yeah, as in Visa, Transmishi, the Palata, the Felto, Pulsha. As in they're using it all the time. As in you're using it all the time, or you, or like the first Ramchand in Days of an Album also.
Yeah.
Say it also, maybe. Doing all the work in there.
Correct. I think Kavua is like frequency of use, right? That's how I understand it. Yeah. Zolti, you with me?
Yeah,
we do. Okay. Zolti is...
Do it there.
Okay, good. Great. Let's say, what time is it now? 2:30 and change. Should we just stop here, even though we didn't cover everything I wanted to cover? Yeah, let's stop here. Bad policy to go over. So... For Thursday's shiur, it's good we're meeting at least three times a week. So for Thursday's shiur, let's talk a little bit just about this two girsos, osev versus osin. By the way, we're on Daf Gimel and Aleph. Just see, we got you right this number. We're already on Daf Gimel, which is good. So we're going to talk about the different girsos. Are they both supposed to? Who's paying for this wall in the Gag Aslamach L'Chatzar case? There's not much in the Lishna Achrina, just good to go through it, just to kind of, you know, there's one vehicle to get out of it, but just get a sense of the alternate way of the Gemara presenting things. I want to, you know, skim through these cases, Nuntes, Daf Vav, we'll talk about them more later. It's just good to have a sense of them now. I want to get into this question of how do we paskin? Hezek Riyah Shmei Hezek or Lav Shmei Hezek? Remember I mentioned in the intro, like one of the things that's like a, be cool to keep track of is how do we know how to paskin? Like Gemara has machlokas. So just like have your radar open. Like when the Rishonim are reading this Gemara, how are they supposed to know how to paskin? And what tools do they appeal to? And then I want to get into Gemara Daf Samech and this question of Minog Shelo Livnos Kosel, which is if you're in a town where there's a Minog to not build a wall at all. And that's going to break open a new question within Hezek Riyah about trying to understand what the Gemara is doing with it. Okay, great. Shkoyach, guys. Stop here. Sorry, I went a little long on that discussion of Gag Aslamach L'Chatzar. See you all on Thursday.